You're listening to the Limitless Broadcasting Network.
I'm Bill Farmer. You're listening to the Pixie Dust Twins Podcast. Gorge!
All it takes is faith and trust. Oh, and something I forgot. Dust. Just a little bit of pixie dust.
I only hope that we never lose sight of one thing, that it was all started by a mouse.
To live. To live will be an awfully big adventure.
Some imagination, huh?
Good day, mate.
I'm Mary Kate.
And I'm Ashley.
Samantha? I don't even know it's Samantha.
Danny! Danny, boy, where are you?
Hi-ho, Kermit the Frog here, and welcome to Muppet Vision 3D.
I may be dead, but I'm still pretty.
Oh, come on, Gar. We're here. Happiest place on Earth.
Shall we begin?
Welcome, Pixie Dusters. We're your favorite hosts. I'm Sammy.
And I'm Ashley. Welcome to the Pixie Dust Twins podcast featuring Dawn.
Howdy, friends. How's it going?
And, of course, we are produced by Limitless Broadcasting Network.
Yep. Make sure you check out our social media after the show. YouTube, Shorts, Instagram, Facebook, and TikTok.
Yes. It's funny they call them Shorts. Reels, Shorts.
It's a Reel. It's a TikTok. I mean, that's what it is.
It's just all the things wrapped in.
It's not like it's pants.
And, of course, you can... At least we hope not. And of course, you can check out limitlessbroadcastingnetwork.com for all your podcasting and now streaming needs. You just need to sign up for a membership. Please go do that. Please
sign up. Give us money.
Please.
Be our friend and give us money. Both at the same time.
Yeah.
Oh, guys, I'm so sad. This is our last week of Joss Whedon summer.
Wow. Yeah.
I'm sad. I know. So sad. But we are ending on, in my opinion, the best Joss Whedon TV show. I mean, I haven't watched Dollhouse, so I can't really comment on that one. But this is my absolute favorite. I know this has a huge, this one had a huge impact on Dan, which I'm super excited to hear about today. And Sammy, did you get to watch all the way through?
I did.
Awesome.
I just finished it this week.
Beautiful.
So, and the movie.
So we are diving in to the sci-fi cult classic Firefly. Yay. I'm so excited. I loved rewatching it. It made me so happy. So this is a little bit more intense summary than we normally give, but this is a very important show. So Firefly is a space Western TV series created by Joss. They originally aired in 2002. It's set in the year 2517, and it follows the ragtag crew of the spaceship Serenity as they struggle to survive on the fringes of a galaxy controlled by the powerful Alliance. The crew, led by Captain Malcolm, or Mal, Reynolds, played by Nathan Fillion, are smugglers, outlaws, and misfits trying to carve out freedom while navigating moral gray areas. Each member of the crew, like second-in-command Zoe, wisecracking pilot Wash, mechanic Kaylee, mercenary Jane, and mysterious siblings Simon and River Tam, brings unique skills, secrets, and tensions to the group. I feel like they miss Shepard in there because we have no clue who he is. The show blends sci-fi adventure, Western themes, and found family dynamics with Whedon's signature witty dialogue and rich world building. Despite its short run of only 14 episodes canceled by Fox, Firefly developed a massive cult following known as the Browncoats, eventually inspiring the 2005 film Serenity, which continues the story. At its heart, Firefly is about freedom, loyalty, and survival, and the enduring bond between a mismatched crew who choose each other against all odds. Do you know what's really creepy about this whole thing? Because it's pretty good. It's all from ChatGPT.
Yeah.
They write way too well, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm. You can tell, though, because it always does the, like, the dash thing.
Yeah.
That's, like, supposed to be a
helpful thing, right? I use them, too.
No, I'm not saying I use them in real life, but they say that's what ChatGPT always does, is it does the,
what
it always
the
puts
thing?
It in there so people know.
The,
like in her notes, it says loyalty and survival, and then it has like the dash, you know, and the enduring bond between a mismatched group. Like, I guess ChatGPT always puts that in
there
someplace.
I've only used it like twice, so I haven't paid attention to
it. I don't use it for writing.
I hope people don't think my writing is actually ChatGPT, because I use that as well. It's a great grammatical use as a writer. So
listen, I'm just telling you what I've heard. I use it, I mean, in my own writing, so I just thought that was interesting.
I use it to interpret my dreams.
ChatGPT?
Well, okay, I did it one time.
I mean, why not?
That's a great idea. I had a reoccurring dream this morning that I have no clue what's happening and why
it's
happening.
Look it up, man. You'll learn some things. Yeah. Learn some things about yourself.
I had a dream the other night that I was watching a horror movie with Ashley. It was a creepy movie, too, in my brain.
What? Yeah, like someone had dream, like half listen, off dream Ashley, was, like, what is she doing?
It was weird. What movie? I don't know. No, it was made up. I don't know. I made it up in my brain. It wasn't a real movie that I can recall.
I was in space last night, and we were like looking. We were exploring this like abandoned space station. Found a box, and behind the box was essence of Sith, and it made me evil, and I killed people.
Wow.
I know, and I kept it just like, and they'd catch me, and then it'd start all over again.
Like Groundhog Day.
Yes, except I kept becoming evil. It was sad.
That's different.
Yeah, it's very weird. I mean, anywho, back to Firefly. We are not in Star Wars month.
No, but we're still in space.
This is true. And I mean, Star Wars is a space opera. Mm-hmm. This is a space western. Mm-hmm. Similar. But the main cast of Firefly, of course, I mentioned above, Nathan Fillion plays Captain Malcolm Reynolds. Gina Torres plays Zoe Allen Washburn. Alan Tudyk, I love Alan, plays, I never knew his first name was Hoban, but apparently his first name is actually Hoban Washburn, and they call him Wash.
Mm-hmm. Never addressed in the show. We didn't know that until, like, IMDb era.
Yeah, something of that nature.
Oh, no, actually, it was in Serenity. We'll get there, but we do see his name in Serenity at one point.
I don't remember that, but okay. Marina, how do you say her last name? Bakarin? Sure. Plays Inara. Adam Baldwin plays Jane Cobb. And let's see here. Jewel Strait plays Kaylee. Holy crap. Her real name is Kay Winnett Lee.
Kay Winnett Lee Fry.
That's a mouthful. Kaylee works.
That's probably why she Sean chose Mayer. Kaylee, because she, you know.
Yeah.
A bit easier to say.
Sean Mayer plays Simon Tam, Summer Glau plays River Tam, and Ron Glass plays Shepherd Book, who is just so mysterious. We're going to have to talk about him later. Anyways. Why this show still matters. A lot of people, I actually researched it and looked at a lot of different like fan sites of why it does matter, why it doesn't matter, going back and forth. I think the people who say it doesn't matter anymore, it's not relevant anymore, should shut their faces, because your logic was flawed, in my opinion. But it still matters because it is a very innovative sci-fi western genre blend. It shows deeply flawed yet relatable ensemble cast. I rewatched it again and I felt like I could relate to one or two of them still to this day. I know Dan has a lot to say about why it probably matters in his life, and we'll get to that in a minute. There's a lot of rich and gritty world building that feels lived in. We don't get that very often, especially with CGI. I feel like this is more relevant than ever because CGI is just kind of ruining the backgrounds of movies, in my opinion, when it comes to like actually feeling like you're there. Its themes of freedom and moral ambiguity resonates with a modern audience. We will always have issues with feeling like we need more freedom and having issues with morality, and this really does cover that. And it's an iconic status as a symbol of unfulfilled potential. Like, literally, if you ever talk about something being canceled, Firefly comes up. It was the probably most, what strong word am I looking for? A tragic cancellation for the fandom ever. Honestly.
Well, it says a lot because you have to remember this is before social media was even a thing. I mean, there was no Facebook. MySpace was barely a thing. So the fact that when it was canceled, there was, I mean, millions of people, internet, you know, like blog sites and forums and like social media before there was social media. You know, that's where people found this community. And like, that's really kind of unheard of, especially for, for that era.
Yeah. Do you want to talk about why this show matters to you so much before we get into about the characters? Or do
I'm still building. I'm gonna be honest with you. I'm still kind of waking up. So let's
keep going then. You're good. We want to make sure Dan is fully awake for his speech.
It's not a speech, honestly. It's
what do we usually call
manifesto.
It though?
It's a
manifesto. I'm like I'm using the wrong.
I haven't written out notes for this show in quite a while. I've been shooting from the hip lately, so hopefully that's been working out.
Yeah, I would have never known.
I'm a good liar.
So let's. Goodness gracious. Well, you're an actor, not a liar, an actor.
What are actors except professional liars?
That is very true.
Just a nicer word for it. So let's talk about these characters. I decided to look at them and be like, you know what? There is a lot of like literary archetypes in this, and it kind of explains them, which I love. So we're gonna go over that. So Mal, he has kind of two archetypes. He is the tragic hero. He carries the trauma of a failed war. Like, this is his first kind of big archetype, which often makes him like a reluctant hero. He's forced by his deep-seated morality to do the right thing, even though he would prefer to simply do work and get paid. So he has this, like, he doesn't want to be a hero, but he is, which coincides with what he wants to be, which is a loner or an outlaw. He's a failed veteran again from a failed war. He's a cynical former soldier who lives on the fringes of society. He has his own code, avoids the alliance and the same government he fought against. He wanted to get away, and he is. So that's pretty much Mal in a nutshell. He's the hero, loner, outcast, and we love him for it. Zoe, she is the. These are not normal archetypes, but I couldn't really find anything for her. She's the stoic soldier, very much still very calm under pressure, doesn't waste time, disciplined, highly capable. But she also has this other side of her where she is now a devoted wife, loving to her husband, very much different traditional gender roles, which is very different for her and Wash. Like, they kind of reversed it. In 2000, it was very rare to see the man kind of be the emotional one and the woman to be the more tough one. And he switched it in this relationship. So, but it was cute. I love Zoe and Wash. They're adorable. And then, of course, you have Wash. He is the jester. He is the happy-go-lucky, playful pilot. He provides comic relief. I mean, the toy dinosaurs. Love the dinosaurs. And recites a nonsensical mantra. He is just, Alan Tudyk is just amazing. He really is.
He's a very, like, he's special.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. He's a always special good. Actor. Yes. Mm-hmm. And then you got Inara. Inara was hard to kind of figure out. But she really, in essence, is kind of the caregiver of the ship. Maybe not to Mal, but to everyone else. She prioritizes the needs of others, like Kaylee, and helps River, and is very supportive and kind, again, to almost everyone except maybe Mal and Jane. Jan, not Jane. I kind of want to call him Jane.
It is Jane. Speaking
why
of Jane, hold on, that? Before you continue, I don't know why I didn't think of this. Hold up. I gotta show you. I should have opened with this thing.
We gotta show and tell.
Come
in. Show and tell time.
Weren't you Jane? I feel like he was Jane for, yes! I forgot you had, I'm like, you were Jane for Halloween, weren't you?
Well, it was Comic-Con.
Comic-Con, okay.
For Comic-Con, I'm that's
like, I remember
funny.
You in a picture of this now. Okay, that I do love that hat.
Hang on, I gotta, it's, gotta make this work with my headphones.
Squish it around.
His mom made it for him.
Really?
Did you not catch that in the episode that his mom sent it to him?
Oh, no, I do remember that.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's it.
I do.
Pretty cunning, don't you think?
Where he was reading the letter and all that, yeah. Mm-hmm.
I love it. Great stuff. So speaking of Jane, again, it was hard to kind of figure out which one he kind of sat in the most, but he really is kind of the trickster. He's kind of mischievous when it comes to disrupting the status quo, especially when he keeps trying to, you know, sell River and Simon back to the Alliance. And he just, he creates kind of chaos sometimes, in my opinion, in a very Jane way.
He does, but he's the hired muscle. So he's good to have on your side when you're in a bind, like, and you just need, brute force.
I'm not going to lie though. I wouldn't have been mad if he let him just out the airlock after the Ariel episode. I was so ticked at Jane.
That's a hard scene to watch. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Cause we've grown to like him. We've kind of grown to like him until that episode, sort of.
Until that moment, he betrayed River, and River is like my favorite.
But up until then, he's kind of started to have his moments. It's like, okay, you know, he grows on you like a fungus. Yeah. He grows on you.
Especially after Jane Town.
Yeah.
Oh, Cobb. All right, then we got Kaylee. She's very much the innocent one. She's cheerful, optimistic, can sometimes just have this. She has the big doe eye face, the very innocent looking face. So that's where she kind of lands. Simon was also difficult. I would consider him like the ruler of the ruler in the sense that he is more about control and order and making sure like things are proper because that's how he grew up. He never actually ends up leading or governing or anything, but he's just very like wants the control and order, which really causes him issues with Kaylee, even though he wants to be with Kaylee. Every time he puts his foot in his mouth, I'm like, oh gosh, Simon.
That's also hard to watch.
Difficult because it's like, and then I want to look at Kaylee and be like, Kaylee, stop it. You know he's going to be an idiot. Like, choose somebody better. Not that there's really anybody better on the ship for her.
It gets me because every now and then you think he's going to get it right. You think he's going to say,
he's so calm.
He has said some pretty sweet things and then he kind of, he just loses it.
He was drunk though.
True.
On Mudder's Milk.
Yeah, yeah. But I keep thinking about the scene where they're at the carnival thing and they're looking at the alien.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
The cow.
It's like,
right.
I don't remember exactly what he says, but he starts off very sweet. And then he's like, you know,
he does. Yeah.
You have really pretty eyes and you always say what you mean. And even when you're, you know, and then he kind of goes off and is like, yeah, you're pretty much the only one out here because everyone else is better than me or what. I don't know. It's like, no, it's sad.
That's nice.
He's like, no, you're pretty much the only one out here because all there's left is my sister and a married woman or something of that nature. And I'm like,
clever. You're like the only girl in the world. That's
not cute.
Oh gosh. If I was her, I'm glad she turned away and walked away as well. She at least knows her worth. And then you got River. Oh, River. So River has this like dual kind of thing going on. She's very innocent because she really doesn't know what's going on. I don't know if good intentions, criminals, blah, 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 blah would work, but she just seems like very innocent, innocent in one sense. And then she like flips the switch and you got this shapeshifter who can go from like innocent and kind of crowding in or being like this joyful person, like in the episode when she gets caught or when they get taken away by the outsider or the, what were they called? When they got Simon and her because they needed a doctor. Mm-hmm.
The settlers. Huh? The settlers who just take people.
Settlers. Yeah. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Yeah. The settlers that take people. But you see this like beautiful kindness of her and her dancing with the kids and all this beautiful sunshine. And then you see it switch in, the episode where they go to save Mal and she just is able to be a killing machine without even looking at it. And then you see it also in the movie when she all of a sudden just fights all of them. And you're like, where did this person come from? She's very much a shapeshifter in that, where she can go between different things, which is a lot of fun. What's funny is I was reading some of the trivia and Summer Glau actually says that she loved playing River because she was barefoot most of the time. She's like, it was great.
Nice.
I didn't have to worry. Yeah. And then, of course, you have Shepard, who is definitely, like, the sage of the crew, moral, spiritual guidance.
Yeah.
Challenging Mal, cynical worldview, etc.
He's the conscience. Which,
but, okay. He is the conscience. Mm-hmm. But I really want to know what he was before he was a conscience. Because there's multiple times through the series that they say, like, when he gives the card in Ariel and is able to get treatment right away, like, oh gosh, we got to get this man taken right. care of. And then at the very end, the very last episode, when, well, depending on which order you're looking at, but the last episode in streaming services right now, which is
Objects in Space.
Thank yeah. you. Objects in Space. I was going to say Outer Space. I'm like, that's not right. Objects in Space. You got the bounty hunter that comes in and he's like, oh, he's not right. a Shepard. And you're like, what the F? Who is this person? Do we ever have an answer? Do they answer that in the comics at all?
Yeah, there's like.
Who is he? The one
I know of. I don't even remember what it's called, but it. Yeah, it shows his young life. And.
So give it to me. Who is he?
From what I remember, he was similar to the operative from the movie. Like, he wasn't. I don't know if he was an operative, but he was very high up in the Alliance military special services, special ops. That's how he's so knowledgeable. I haven't read it specifically. I just know that he has a lot of stuff happened to him, and he winds up homeless on the streets, and somebody's kind to him and gives him like a bowl of soup, and he has this like come to Jesus moment, finds God in a bowl mm-hmm. of soup kind of thing. It's a very short comic. It starts off with that moment, and it kind of like goes back. It tells the story through a flashback, and how he went okay. from that to being a man of the cloth.
Huh. Yeah. That would have been a great episode.
Oh yeah. I mean, had the show kept going, we would have gotten that.
Oh well, yeah, because one of the we'll get to it in the trivia, but. Apparently, he wanted it to run for at least 7 seasons. He had 7 seasons planned out in his mind for this show. And I want them.
We all want them.
I know we'll never get them, but no. I want them.
We got books. We got books. Anywho. And we got comic books. So.
Yes, I need to start buying I'm doing something else right now, but after I read the Twisted Tale books that mm-hmm. I'm reading from Disney, I'm really highly probably going to start buying the Firefly books that we have.
The books are really good. The novels are really good. They're really just these sort of one-off stories that you can see.
Yeah, they look. I kind of read some of the.
Yeah, but I mean, it scratches the itch, and it's like, okay, then you can see how these would have been good episodes. The comic books, however, they continue the main story arc. The two main ones that I've read are Those Left Behind, which bridges the gap between Firefly and Serenity, and then Leaves on the Wind, which takes place after Serenity. So we see kind of what happened to them after the movie.
I need to read the one that bridges them.
It's good.
Me bridge a little better. Good.
And we get to see Mr. Dobson again.
Ah, yeah. Nice. So thank you, IMBD and the brown coats of the world, because the lowest rated episode is an 8. There is no lower for any
there's
of these
no
episodes.
There's no bad episodes.
I am. Mm-hmm.
They're all.
No, there's not.
There's ones that are not as strong, but they're all good.
Yeah. So the highest rated one is Out of Gas, 9.3 out of 10. In streaming services, it's episode 5. Yeah, episode 5. I'm sorry. I'm going to back up. Because I hate how Fox did this. So one of the things Fox did was they stupidly ran the episodes out of order. They did not put them in chronological order when they were put onto TV. And that is a lot of people, probably the majority of the internet's one of the reasons why they think that Fox ended up canceling it, because of the out of order of chronologic. So Out of Gas was episode 5 in the non-chronological order. In chronological order, it's episode 8. So, yeah, I had to kind of go back and forth. So Out of Gas was a 9.3 out of 10. That's when, like, we kind of see... I love that episode. It goes back and forth between, like, what's happening with Mal and dying because he's almost out of air, getting shot, to all the different things, and then you see, like, how it leads up to it. It just... It was a beautifully done episode, in my... Going back and forth, in my opinion. It was a sad episode. Like, I felt... I remember the first time I watched it, and Mal, like, comes up, and he's, like... He, like, just falls. Like, that's the first... Falls. And you're like, what is happening to Mal? What's happening? It's very sad. But I really enjoyed that episode. I don't know if it's my favorite episode, but I really do enjoy it. What about you guys?
Yeah. I like it. No, I like it a lot. It's very cinematic.
Yes, that's a good word for it.
Yeah. Second highest rated is in non-chronological order. It was episode 10. In chronological order, it's the last episode, episode 14, which is Objects in Space, 9.2 out of 10. This was great. I loved the bounty hunter. I thought he was just, like, his whole demeanor and how he talked, and it just was very different and very
The man was good. Scary.
He was. He for was being as super calm scary. As he was,
he's super scary. No, see, it's always the calmest ones he's that are intense. Scariest. Yeah.
That's true. Yes. That's true. Yes. I don't know. River's kind of scary when she all of a sudden melds into the ship. And you're like, what is happening? And then you realize, like, oh,
that's probably one of the most. That's honestly probably one of the most cathartic episodes. Because it builds to that moment. Because you have this guy who has outsmarted everyone from the moment he stepped on the ship. Like, immediately he takes out the strongest people. And then make sure the other strong people are locked away. And
Jane didn't even know what was happening. Going on. He was
Jane's an idiot.
He's just asleep.
We keep waiting for Jane to have. Yes. Yeah, we keep waiting for Jane to have his moment, and he never does. But yeah. No. So I mean, every way of please.
Jane would have let him take them. Jane would have been like, "Yeah, sure, I'll help you," because he's an idiot.
Depends on the money. Depends on how good the money is. Jane goes where the money is.
That's true. If he gets paid well, then
But no, I think I also love this episode more because we see more of River. Yeah. Like she actually talks more than like five words. And I'm like, we could have had this the whole season.
Well, again, that's the point. It has to build.
Well, I know it builds, and we could have had it in the second season where she's a little bit more like interactive and
yeah. I just like seeing bad guys rattled. I think I'm realizing that. Like, it's one thing to take physical revenge on a bad guy and blow their heads off. Yeah, that's fun. Yeah. But it's even more fun to see them broken. And she breaks him a little bit. She gets into his head. She makes him lose control.
She does.
I like that.
Yeah. Especially when she, like, finds out all about his information
mom,
about him.
Finds out about how he was, he's always been a psycho. Like, he's killed dogs. Yeah. Like, yeah.
But he cleans up. He's a clean psycho.
Well, you know, most psycho killers are the best ones are. Dexter proved that.
Yeah, I never watched Dexter.
I watched like half of the series, and then I kind of got out of it.
One of my favorite shows.
It's good. It's a good show.
Yes, we know.
Yeah,
you had a dog named Dexter.
You're a fan. Nice.
You did. Rest in peace, Dex. And then the lowest rated show is Safe. It was 8 out of 10.
Kind of surprises me.
Dang it. I told myself to remember what that episode is about. And
that's the one where Simon and River get taken by the settlers.
Oh, yes.
I'm surprised. Oh, okay. I figured it would have been like maybe The Message or something. I guess that was a good one. That was a pretty good one. I mean, they're all good, but... Yeah.
I mean, they're all
the ones
amazing.
I tend to skip over are The Message and Heart of Gold. Like, they're good episodes, but they're just kind of filler episodes.
Remind me what Message and Heart of Gold is.
The Message is the one where they get the message from their old army buddy, Tracy.
Oh, his body?
Yeah.
Oh, that one makes me angry.
And then Heart of Gold is when Inara goes to the brothel. She has friends at the brothel.
Oh, where she like gets destroyed because he sleeps with
her friend.
Her friend.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, no, it's fine. It's, you know, we're all open and whatever. And no, just kidding. You were breaking my heart because I'm in love with you.
She's like crying, and then she decides to leave, and I'm just like, no, don't do it. Don't leave.
It's so sad, like, right before Mal's about to profess his feelings to her, too.
I know! He's, like, gonna mm-hmm. tell her, and she, like, and stops it's, yeah, him. I'm like...
It's a perfect moment, too, because, like, you realize how short life is, because her friend just died, and he's in that place, and he's vulnerable, and it's like, mm-hmm. yeah.
And that was the last episode that was actually aired.
It was, yes. Yeah, Heart of...
That's wow. so
Objects
sad.
Objects in Space was actually never aired originally, I don't think.
It says it was
aired after, like, so they canceled, when the show was canceled...
They said it aired December 13th.
Oh, maybe it was.
Is what it said.
No, okay, I'm wrong. It was the pilot that was never aired, the original pilot that was never aired. Until...
I don't think I've ever
seen... The two-hour premiere.
Oh, yeah, the original...
Yeah, that was never aired originally until after the show was canceled. Oh. And then eventually they released the two-hour pilot.
That's crazy. I think,
something like that. There were some episodes that were never aired. I think it might... Maybe it was Heart of Gold. There were at least one or two episodes that were never actually aired originally. I forget. I don't remember exactly what they were. I want to say it was Heart of Gold and possibly the pilot, or Heart of Gold and the Message or something. Or maybe...
I mean, Heart of Gold didn't air until... Actually, I'm sorry. Serenity was the last aired in 2002. Heart of Gold... Let's see here. Trash.
I love Trash.
The Message and Heart of Gold were all aired the next summer. Okay. So actually, Heart of Gold was the last one gotcha. Aired. So you had... Mm-hmm. July of 2003, so 7 months later, Trash comes out, and then the next week, The Message, and then August 4th, Heart of Gold. So there's three that they didn't air until almost a year later.
Yeah. Wow.
I love Trash. That's probably my favorite episode. And I'm not just quoting Oscar the Grouch.
Saffron, just, I want to, someone
you don't like Saffron? I love Saffron.
No, I don't like Saffron.
I love her.
She's conniving, she's
evil. She's a great she's villain. Evil, she's a great antagonist.
She's double-crossing, she's a snake, and I love her for it.
She has no bad feelings about it.
She's pure.
She just is who she is.
See, I think the reason I don't, like, she's a great character. Don't get me wrong. She shouldn't be taken out. Just, she rubs me the wrong way because I love Inara. Mm-hmm. And they clash. I'm like, I'm going to be Team Inara. I'm sorry. Go away, Saffron. Mm-hmm. And I love that Inara is the one that, like gets the better of her and shuts her in the trash can. I'm like, yes! Get it!
That's such a good episode.
So good. Oh, goodness. They're all... I mean, I think the only one that I really, like, it's hard for me to watch is Ariel.
Really?
Ariel, I don't know why that one is so difficult for me to watch, but it's probably because Jane betrays them, but that one's usually one that I will skip if I'm not in the mood for it.
It's definitely a lot darker. Definitely a lot darker. And big cold hospitals are scary.
Mm-hmm. And War Stories is another one that really is hard for me to watch because they're literally torturing
I
them.
Don't like torture, so yeah, it definitely took me a while to...
Yeah.
Usually, for a long time, I skipped over that one. It doesn't really bother me now anymore, but yeah, when it first came out, I was like, yeah, I'm not about this.
Yeah, and it's... Well, and Wash is the one getting tortured, and I'm like, no!
Yeah.
No torture, Wash! Poor Wash.
Yeah. I've always said Mal's best strength is not his physical strength. Because physically, yes, he's strong, but he's beaten up. If somebody's stronger than him, he can get his butt kicked pretty easily. His biggest strength is his mental and emotional endurance. Like that man, he just, I realize this in the pilot episode because it's his humor that keeps everybody going.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, and even though it's a torture scene and I hate torture scenes, the only great thing about this torture scene that Joss did was instead of them just screaming and crying and begging for mercy, they're literally having a conversation about Zoe in the midst of this. And I can't help but laugh. And I'm like, I shouldn't be laughing while these poor boys are getting tortured.
Well, that's the point. The whole point of that is like, yes, this thing is happening, but, you know, the way to survive it is to, you know, it's all about mental fortitude. Mentally separate. It's all about your mental and emotional state. Mm-hmm. And that's what, that Mal understood that. Wash didn't get that. Wash is just, I don't know what's happening, but like Mal's like, okay, we need to keep him from breaking. That is the primary goal. Keep him from breaking and we're going to get through this. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And like, yeah. And that brings Wash around to understanding who Mal actually is and their history and understanding his relationship with Zoe and why they are the way they are. He's like, I had no idea. I didn't get it. And I get it now.
I love the end of that episode where Mal's like, we talked about this. I have to do this. Zoe, we have to sleep together. And Zoe's like, okay, if we must. And like, they're all like back and forth. Like, I'm crying. They're so awkward. Wash is like, no. Grab Zoe. Yep.
And Jane comes in and eats the soup. It's like, oh, hey, free soup. I love noticing little things about this show because he comes in and he like smacks Mal kind of like in a, you know, buddy kind of way, but he hits him right. He hits him in a way where he got hurt, where he's already been hurt. It's like, oh, hey, free soup. And I was like, ah, don't do that.
Oh, goodness. Just little things. Speaking of little things, we kind of went out of order than we normally do. Let's talk some trivia. There was so much trivia, I had to stop. Because it was so, it was like actually good, like solid IMBD trivia. Like there wasn't a lot of like fluff. And I'm like, oh, even Firefly has the good trivia. I'm like, come on. Okay. So first thing first, between shots, the cast actually preferred to wait in the ship's lounge instead of their trailers and dressing rooms. I mean, that's amazing. Yeah. Like I would wait in the ship's lounge too. It was great.
Why not?
Yeah. Nathan Fillion considers this to be the most fun he's had on a television series and compares every other job he gets to it, as he should. So the Alliance's full title is the Anglo-Sino. I know I'm saying that wrong. But you're probably doing it much better than I did. So Whedon intended for it to be a merger of U.S. and China, the last of the world superpowers. That's why many characters sometimes speak Chinese. And the Alliance flag seen in the original pilot is blended with the U.S. and Chinese flags. Also, I might have it later on, but Whedon did a lot of Chinese to get around the censorship issues with cussing. Mm-hmm. So if you ever do look up all the what they all mean, it's just
it's them more cussing up a more storm brilliant. It's
in
so
Chinese.
Brilliant.
Every time Mal rides a horse in the show, no matter what planet it's on, it's the same horse, and his name was Fred.
Oh, I never knew that.
Fred the horse.
Yep, him and Fred had a special bond. the cast had a running gag where they would yell Summer Glau's name whenever they flubbed a line or messed up. It began after she forgot her line at the end of a particularly difficult scene. So the gag actually even continued through filming Serenity.
You can see it in some of the outtakes, too.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
The Alliance officer and soldier uniforms are actually leftovers from Starship Troopers from 97.
I can see it. I can always see it.
Yep. Every space scene is actually without sound effects for the ship moving, precisely as it would be in space. No air, no sound. Make good point. Of course, there is background music during those scenes. But they're right. Like, all the sounds we hear in Star Wars when the ships are out and about, we shouldn't hear any of that.
That was one of those weird, just, I don't know, when I first saw that, it took me a minute to kind of be like, why is there no... Oh, wow, there's no sound in space.
Goodness. No one can hear you scream.
Yep.
Oh, so I mentioned this already. Whedon intended the show to run for 7 seasons. While there were low ratings at first, the real reason it was canceled was that Fox executives thought it was too dark. Again, I don't know how, because I feel like Angel is darker than this. But anyways... Whedon and the cast refused to change the storyline, so Fox canceled with only 11 episodes out of 14 airing on the network. Prior to its cancellation, fans formed a Firefly Immediate Assistance campaign, which involved sending in postcards to the Fox network to support the production of the show. After that failed, the campaign worked on getting another network, such as UPN, to pick up the series for a second season. The campaign ended up being unsuccessful in securing the continuation of the show. And then, Yeah. And I already talked about they aired them out of chronological order. Again, I don't know why they thought this was darker than Angel, but
what did they say? Right. What was dark about it? Like, did they say what was?
No, they didn't tell me.
Just general.
We might have to just look it up later. Alan Tudyk admitted that whenever his character Wash got an order on the bridge, he would always flip the same three switches over his head, which I paid attention after I did this. I'm like, he does. No matter what he was told to do, he jokingly called them his magic switches that can do anything.
That's funny.
During the DVD commentary, it is mentioned that there is a subplot for Inara that was never developed, but that was foreshadowed with the number of shots and or lines during the series. At a 2008 Dragon Con panel, Marina actually confirmed the longstanding rumor that the subplot would have involved Inara having a terminal illness.
Wow.
It's probably why she left the... what was it called? The priest or the temple or whatever she was at.
There's little lines here and there that hint.
Yeah. In 2004, the character Captain Malcolm Mal Reynolds was ranked 18 in TV Guide's list of the 25 greatest sci-fi legends. I'm assuming he's probably still in there. I hope. Serenity's engine room includes the center console from a Boeing 737, complete with throttle, full cutoff, spoiler, and flap levels, and pitch trim wheels. It frequently seen standing on the floor between the cot and the engine.
Cool.
Yeah. And the entire interior of Serenity and some of the exterior was built full scale and almost completely congruous. It was split across two sound stages, one for the upper deck and one for the lower deck, shuttle docks, and hold. Now, this next fact makes me want to cry. Thankfully, this didn't happen.
I did see this.
So, Whedon originally wrote the role of Mal Reynolds with Nicholas Brendon in mind. However, the shooting schedule conflicted with his commitment to Buffy, so we got Nathan Fillion. Thank God and everything that is holy.
I can't.
How? No. Brendan would have been horrible.
I can't see that.
No, I can't either. How can you have Brendan in mind for this role?
That's weird.
That's weird.
I mean, he has a sense of humor, but that's it. Like, there's not.
That's all.
Like.
He has no seriousness to him. No, his face is all wrong for it. I'm sorry, Brendan. Why am I apologizing? You're a bad man.
He really is.
He really is. What am I doing? So we were so lucky to get Fillion on this.
Was it rumored that David Boreanaz was also considered at one point, or maybe no?
I didn't see that.
I think Nathan Fillion auditioned for the role of Angel. That might have been it. There was a confusion between the two
of them.
That
would probably make more sense. Yeah, because I doubt David Boreanaz would have time anyway.
Oh, no.
Being on Angel full time.
No, it was just between Brendan and Fillion.
I think Nathan Fillion auditioned for the role of Angel. That's what I'm confusing.
That would make sense.
It was all considered for Angel. Doesn't give me a list. No. Okay, anyways, moving on. Let's see here, where'd I leave off? Oh, during the 8-season run of Castle, which is one of Nathan Fillion's shows, he reunited with at least 5 of the Firefly cast members. Richard Berge appears in season 4. I don't know who that is. I'm assuming he is like a one-off character. Adam Baldwin in seasons 4 and 8, Gina Torres in season 5, while Summer Glau and Joel Strait appear in separate episodes in season 8. Also, I forgot to put in here that a good chunk of Firefly casts are seen in either Buffy or Angel, yes. which we've kind of talked about a little bit.
Gina Torres.
Summer Gao.
Summer
Gao is in an episode. Yeah. Glau. Mm-hmm. Glau. Sorry.
Yeah. She's also in the, she's
obviously
Nathan. Yeah. And then last but not least, this is where I decided to cut off. Originally, this ship was only supposed to have 5 main characters. And through development, the character list was increased to 9.
Who were the?
It didn't tell me who were the 5 main, though. I tried to find it. Yeah. But yeah. That is the stuff from the show. But, Sammy, what do you think of the show? We haven't really heard much from you yet. So I want to know what you think of Firefly.
So I didn't love it. I'm just going to be straight up with you. I didn't like the first, 3 episodes. I thought the pilot was too long. I was trying. I really was because I love the characters. Mm-hmm. And that's the thing. I like the characters individually, but I just wasn't into, the show.
Mm-hmm.
Once we hit, see episode 4, which I think is when, what's-her-face first comes in.
Saffron?
No. Yeah, I think so. Yeah, whenever Saffron first showed up, I was just okay, I like her. I like now where the storyline is going. And I think it was just, it had humor to it, but I think it started picking up humor, around there where I thought it was funnier, more classic Joss to me. Mm-hmm. Maybe
it, if that it took makes a while sense. For that quippiness to kind of come in. There was a lot of
yeah, and I don't want to bash the show because it only have 14 episodes, which is not fair. You know, when you're trying to build it up, you know, now shows have 8 episodes, and sometimes it's the same thing. 3 episodes in, and you're okay, now it's starting to pick up. I feel like it's the same thing with Firefly.
Did you watch it on Disney Plus?
Hulu. Yeah, Disney Plus Hulu.
Okay, so Mrs. Reynolds, which is Saffron, didn't come until episode 6. Episode 4 was the shindig where Mal has to duel, which I love.
No, I did think that was funny.
It was a great episode.
Yeah, I think it did start picking up around there for me, and then I really started liking it more when Saffron first came in. But I like that actress too, so that might be some of it. But yeah, I mean, to me... I like River, but I liked River a lot better in the movie than I did in the show. To me, I think it's kind of what you just said a little bit ago. River, I feel like was not, I get it. You have to build it up and we didn't get to see it build up, right?
Yeah.
She just wasn't really utilized as much. And I was just good God, this girl is just walking around being a weirdo this whole time. And I just want to know what's going on with her. And then when we finally got to see more of her character, then it was there's no more show. But that's the movie made me feel better because I was thank you. Now we get some development with River. This is much better to see her, developed. I mean, I always liked Nathan Fillion. So I liked Mal. He's always funny to me.
Mm-hmm.
I like that character right off. And then, of course, I like Alan Tudyk. So that was easy. But yeah, like I said, I like all the characters individually. It's just I wasn't into the storylines, I guess. Maybe that was it. And I mean, they brought you right into the middle of the world, like you said. But I just was it was Star Wars-y. And it's probably part of my problem is because I was just it's kind of Star Wars. So, of course, Ashley and Dan like it.
So he's I've been through this crap already. What is this all? Space?
Right?
We're in space. You're a bunch of nerds.
And the thing is, you all had time to learn about the world outside of the show, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm why are they speaking Chinese randomly? I assumed it had to be because, whatever happened with,
That's one thing they never really explained in the show. And I do remember that. We only know that because of the DVD commentary where Joss Whedon himself was yes, my theory was that America and China fused together and the cultures meshed. And so now everyone speaks English and Chinese forever.
Yeah.
It's okay, I get that. Mm-hmm. You could have addressed that in the show, but sure. You know what? I'm going to take your word for it, my bro.
Yeah. I mean, when we had the first, the pilot, the 2-hour pilot, you couldn't throw that in there someplace just to make it a little more clear. Because I was just
apparently thinks that we have a lot better mind reading skills than we actually do.
I would like to think I'm not smart, but apparently not. Because I was just that's what they do. It's whatever, you know. But yeah, I really think my problem with the show is just that when it started getting good, then it just wasn't a show anymore, you know? Yeah. But yeah, Robbie didn't like it at all, so he stopped watching it with me. But he didn't get to watch the movie. I watched the movie with Adam because he'd already left. Mm. But I did tell him, I was like, the movie is very good. Like the second it, I don't know, just as soon as the movie started, I was like,
it brings you in pretty quickly.
Like, this is how I want to see the characters.
The show is a slow burn. The show is one of those things you have to spend time with in order for it to grow on you. Yeah. The movie, you're in it pretty much right away.
I can see that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The sad thing is the movie was rated low.
It was. And unfortunately, it did not do very well. I remember I saw it in the theater.
Yeah, it didn't do well at all.
I remember seeing it when it came out. Wow. And the theater was pretty not packed at all. Like it was probably like maybe less than a third of people, if that. There were not a lot of people in the theater. So, I don't know. Because it's interesting seeing Sammy's reaction, because I remember the point of the movie was to, because he was really trying to cater to the audience that he had cultivated through Firefly and also bring in a new audience. Because we were all hoping, like, maybe we're going to get some more movies. Maybe the movie's going to hit it big and we're going to get another show. I mean, everybody was hoping for that. So the way he wrote it was like he was trying to do both. And I don't know. From my point of view, I feel like it really was just a love letter to the fans. Because I can see coming in cold, not knowing anything about this world. To like me personally, I'd be like, all right, it's cheap sci-fi. Whatever. What else is on? But then seeing your reaction, I think it's interesting. Yeah. Like, oh, so from an outside point of view, it does bring you in. So I don't know. Yeah, it's interesting.
And I mean, I did watch the show first, so that still may have helped. Because I did know all the characters going into it, you know?
Yeah, because I've known people going in cold who are like, I mean, I was... I showed somebody a long time ago this show, and like halfway, or the movie rather, and then halfway through they were like, I have no idea what's going on. So I was like, well, okay, it might be better to start with the show if I'm kind of bringing somebody into this world. So
So I probably watched the movie first.
Okay.
And that drew me in. I actually remember, but I'm weird. So, I mean, you already know I'm weird, but I love the crappy sci-fi movies. Like, the Sci-Fi Channel, they bring out these, like, I own some of the crappy sci-fi movies, like, that are, like, fantasy or science fiction or whatever, just meshed in. I love them. So Serenity has that feel for me. And I think it actually started with Serenity, because I didn't start watching those other movies until after I got into Serenity. So I watched Serenity for the first time, I think, in college, with either you, Dan, or Holly. Mm-hmm. One of you got me to it, of course, because both of you are my nerd people in college. And then I was opened up to the world of, like, the TV show and was like, oh, this is even so much better! But I don't know if it's just because I don't need a lot of backstory on a world for me to just jump into a world and get going with it. Like, I'm like, you give me a world to jump into and figure out as I go. Yes, let's do this. Mm-hmm. And that's, I love it. I love it. That's why I don't like watching real life things. I need
escapism.
That's
totally fair. Yes,
that's fair.
I am a hardcore escapism person. Mm-hmm. If you haven't learned, audience, they know.
I was not a sci-fi person, so I think that's why the biggest difference is, because Firefly was probably my gateway drug into sci-fi. It was my gateway show. Prior to that, the only sci-fi related things I watched, and wasn't even sci-fi, would be Star Wars. Like, the only space-related thing that I was really into.
Yeah.
At the time, I was really into more like Smallville and like the teen kind of, you know, One Tree Hill and like all the teen shows and stuff like that. So. Yeah.
That's never really into those shows.
Well, because like the only because outside of that, the only sci-fi stuff that I was familiar with was like Star Trek. It took me years to get into Star Trek. Like, it's only been in the last like five, 6 years. It's only been in the last 6-7 years that I've actually like gotten into like Deep Space Nine and like Star Trek: The Next Generation and all that. But back then, I couldn't really relate to any sci-fi. It was always very just cold and stern and stand back for this is a forbidden planet. You know, and I know that was, and again, one of many, many interviews with Joss Whedon that I remember watching is like that's what he wanted to do, was bring in people who really didn't relate to the Starship Enterprise. They were more the fringe people, the people the Enterprise would have just kind of forgotten about, kind of blown right past.
I mean, Firefly is kind of like the our modern version of like the fringes of Star Wars. Like we got Tatooine fringes and that sort. Like that's where they kind of coincide with.
It's me, that minus aliens.
It's like we got the fringe and fringe going on, and I love the fringe.
Yeah.
Star Trek, I cannot. So Next Generation is good. I do like what's his face, Patrick Stewart.
Patrick Stewart.
He was. I can watch. I can watch that show and be okay. But I tried watching the original Star Trek with
Shatner.
Yes, thank you, Shatner, and it was horrible.
I actually haven't watched the original, so I'm still out on that one.
A lot of people will tell you, like even Star Trek fans are like, it was bad, but they just, I mean, they made fun of it in Big Bang. Sure. And I tried watching one of their movies. And I just
check out Star Trek Deep Space Nine.
It's too sciencey. It's too sciencey for me. I need more of the fantasy element.
Deep Space Nine is not fantasy element, but it's a lot more into like, it's more, I mean, you could say it's more political, but it's kind of like, it's similar to Firefly in the sense that you have all of these different systems and factions and societies, and they're all trying to coexist and they're all failing at it. And they're all butting heads and trying to make it work. And there is a higher being involved. And if there's a lot, it's really good. I if you are curious about any Star Trek, I would recommend starting with Deep Space Nine, but that's just me.
I'm not interested right now, but I'll keep that in mind for later on the road if I like decide to go in that route.
I get it.
Just one of those that I'm very much on the Star Wars side, and that's why
we gotta have sides, man. Why can't we all just get along?
I don't get along with Star Trek people. I just won't cross over into that media. That's what I mean. I'm not talking like what fanboys does to us, where they like pitted against each other. I just because Megan, one of my you guys met Megan at my wedding. She's a huge Star Trek person. She loves New Generation. And her now husband would sit in the couch and watch it on date nights at our house. And we're fine. We get along great. She actually had her third baby.
Yay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. They are now a family of five. They are outnumbered.
Wow.
Too many.
Two boys, too.
Mm-hmm.
Two boys and a girl. Ay, ay, ay. But anywho, okay. I probably should go back to my notes. Anything else about the show before we move into like stuff about the movie?
Oh, one other thing.
Yes.
I did think it was interesting that there were no like aliens. Mm-hmm. It's just people on all the planets. That's different.
Yes.
Yeah, I thought that was interesting. That it literally was the entire world just inhabited the solar system. I thought that was kind of cool. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, it's still pretty much us. There's just a lot more of us and we have more problems.
True.
And then, you know, you got the Reavers. Honestly, I'm surprised that we didn't... I'm assuming in later seasons we would have probably gotten more interaction with Reavers. Because we only had that one interaction with the two interactions. They almost, like... caught us in the beginning, but they got away. And then the guy who turned into a Reaver,
which that made it even more scary.
It was very creepy.
And that's where I can see like Fox saying this is a bit too dark. Bushwhacked is a really dark episode.
Yeah, Bushwhacked is a really dark episode.
Bodies and like guys mutilating his own face and like it's kind of horror based. It's like
that kind of made me cringe. Yeah,
no, it's definitely it's uncomfortable to watch.
Yeah, I'm glad we didn't do more Reavers that season. I'm glad that was like really our only.
Yeah, I feel like the Reavers would have been a lot scarier in the show. I mean, they're pretty scary in the movie, but to me, what was scarier is just the ambiguity. Like we hear stories about them. We hear people's reactions to them. We see glimpses of what the Reavers do to people. We haven't actually seen the Reavers. So the only thing we can fill in is the things our minds fill in for us. And that's 10 times scarier than we could ever see on the screen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know? That's true.
I agree.
Let's go through this and then I'm interested to see what your thoughts are on how they said the Reavers had became. Because that was really kind of half the point of the Serenity movie. So Serenity continues the story of the TV series that was based on Firefly. River Tam had a secret, one in which she was not even aware of, so dangerous, no one's safe, as an Alliance operative sent to capture her, and all others are considered irrelevant to his job. Biggest change from the TV show to the movie, and I don't know why this happened, is Shepard is no longer on the ship, and he wasn't even the one who talked about leaving. Mm-hmm. So I don't know what that was about. And they killed him off, which made me very sad.
Also, that's another thing that's covered in the comic book. So.
Oh, okay. Whoa. Cool.
Right, because you said there's a comic in between. Yeah. So.
And Inara's still on the ship. I didn't get to rewatch this movie because I couldn't find my DVD. And it was nowhere. I didn't have time to rent it. Inara wasn't on the ship, correct? Or was she on the ship?
She was about halfway through the not in the beginning, no. But then halfway through the movie, she, she rejoins.
So Inara and the ends up actually leaving and then coming back. Okay. Some movie trivia. According to Nathan, he personally supplied the blueprints needed to build the spaceship in the film after being informed at production meeting that the originals had been lost. He was able to do so because being so excited about being in the original show, he had taken photos of all the pre-production materials he had seen, including the blueprints.
Nice.
How do you lose the originals, people? Come on. That's like memorabilia.
Who knows?
And then in the cargo bay, just after a Reaver is shot, some of the crates behind River have the message, reusable container, do not destroy, printed on them. It's an inside joke since they had to rebuild it from scratch. And the original was destroyed. And then according to the director commentary, Mal's line, faster would be better, was ad-libbed when Whedon told him to say something Mal would say.
That's funny.
It's very Mal. Faster would be better. during Mal's conversation with Inara over the wave, four of Mal's scars are all visible, all from wounds he received during Firefly. One on his chest was inflicted by Crow and Train Job. The one near his diaphragm is from the gunshot wound during Out of Gas. One on his side is from his duel with Atherton. And then the one on his left shoulder is a bullet graze in the pilot. And then Summer Glau actually trained intensely with fight choreographers for 3 months before principal photography began. And did you know she is actually a classically trained prima ballerina?
I didn't know that.
In real life.
I could see that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And we saw that. I'm pretty sure she was in Angel. She played a ballerina in Angel. Yes. I couldn't remember because I remember she was in Angel, but I couldn't remember what she did. Yeah. But yeah, that was her just doing her ballet thing.
Yep. Yes. So we've already answered one of my burning questions. Who the heck is Shepard? Right. My second burning question. Why the F did you kill Worf?
Because Joss Whedon hates us. That's why.
I was very upset, and that's my first thought, Dan. I was like, F Joss Whedon, he does hate every fan he's ever had.
He hates Joy, and he hates you.
Oh, my God. When that happened in the movie, because obviously I didn't know it was coming, right? And I was just like, wait, I Googled it while the movie was on. I was like, he's not dead, right? And then I was like, son of a, he's actually dead?
Yeah, I remember when that whole thing was rumored, because there were rumors that there were going to be at least two deaths, and I always figured one of them was going to be Shepherd Book, and the other one...
That
one makes sense. The other one, I was like, okay, they're not going to kill Simon, he's like a core storyline, they're definitely not going to kill Jane, he's too likable, so I'm kind of going through, and I was like, in the back of my mind, I suspected Wash, because I was like, he's just lovable enough to where it's going to crush us if he does, so... If anyone's going to get it, it's probably going to be Wash, and it's probably going to be really, really bad. And then I remember sitting in the theater. I remember in the movie theater, I had my cup of whatever I was drinking all done, and it was ice. I was chewing on ice, and I was sucking on ice, and I had some ice in my mouth. And then that scene happens. For 10 minutes straight, I had a cube of ice sitting on my tongue, untouched, because I was frozen. Into my reaction, literally for 10 minutes straight, I was just like, and the ice was just sitting on my tongue the whole time.
It was the worst.
It was so heartless the way it happened. Like, it just, because it just happened. There was no preparation. There was no grief. Yeah. It was just, he's dead and move on.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And they just left. Because what else are you going to do?
Poor Zoe! I was very mad. They did not need to kill Wash.
No.
Joss had to kill somebody.
He did. He killed Book. He did not need to kill
a second.
He likes
to kill people.
Yes. He likes to make us all very sad.
He's a horrible, horrible human being. I mean, for other reasons, too. But he's horrible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, what do you guys think of the reason the Reavers were made?
I mean, I was glad they gave an explanation.
Mm-hmm. I always assumed...
That was a nice...
Yeah, I always assumed there was a kind of connection between the Alliance and the Reavers. I didn't know what it was, but they were very big presences in the show, and they were very big menaces in the show, and they were always sort of opposing. So I was like, I'll bet there's a connection here somewhere. And then the movie kind of confirmed that. Yeah, I thought it was pretty great. I thought it was pretty, because I don't know. Again, reasons why I am the way I am and my mistrust of big governments. Whenever there's a sort of utopia happening with a big bureaucracy and there are a lot of things happening, there's always an ugly reason for why that is the way it is. And there's always some things they're trying to cover up.
Can't trust it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. And the way that we saw it, that was intense.
Oh, the lady giving the message and like showing what happened. Yeah.
Yes. It was very well done, because you're just like you're with the crew and they're getting horrified just hearing it. And you're just like, oh, no. Oh, no. Oh, no. And then you just know they're coming in for her.
I like how Jane's the first person to say, turn that off. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's interesting, right?
Yeah, that's huge for Jane to be the one that can't handle it.
Yeah, says a lot about him. I mean, Jane has no problem killing people for money. He has no problem killing people, but anything involving mutilation or torture or anything like that, So it's like, he is human. He's human after all. And did you notice how River was quoting the message as they were playing it? Like, she was mouthing the words?
Yes.
Yeah.
So I saw that.
Well, because isn't she, like, she's very, didn't they make her psychic?
They made her psychic, but it was also.
And they were messing with her?
I think it was all, yes, they did do that. But I think it was also, like, that was, it was like the memory / message that had always been, that had been buried in her mind that she had picked up from other people. But she kept saying, like, this memory isn't mine, this memory isn't mine, like. So it's like that was sort of a, I don't know, exorcism of that memory. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then she literally pukes it up.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. I mean, her fight scene in the like bar or whatever, where she all of a sudden just starts fighting all of them. I'm like, I love it.
That was great.
Get it. Get
just
it, River.
Out of nowhere.
Yeah, I was like, this is the River I like.
Well, that's River. She just kind of does stuff out of nowhere.
I love that Odie Bar commercial.
And your poor brother has no clue.
I love that Odie Bar commercial. You ever look up the Odie Bar commercial? The Fruity Odie. They made, like, that's a, I mean, it's not a real commercial, but they shot the whole commercial for it. Fruity Odie bars make a man out of a mouse. Fruity oaky bars make you bust out of your blouse. Eat them all the time. Let them blow your mind.
Okay.
Wow. Interesting. Yep.
They brought in an actual guy who, like, an actual Chinese, like, you know, Chinese guy who, like, spoke, you know, didn't really understand a whole lot of English. And his whole thing was like, saying something in Chinese and then saying fruity oti bar, but he had a hard time like getting a grasp of how to pronounce it, like fruity oti. So it's like, so he's getting kind of frustrated, and then he finally just kind of went with it. So it's interesting.
Oh goodness. See if there is any. This was Joss's film director debut. hadn't done another feature film until now.
Not counting Buffy the Vampire Slayer? Like the movie?
Apparently not. Did he direct it or did he write it?
I don't think he directed it. I think he just wrote it.
I think he just wrote it.
Maybe.
And then he left.
This was Summer Glau's first feature film.
Very good. Very good.
Oh, I forgot to mention that. So when she started in back in the TV show, when River got a hold of Shepherd Book's Bible and she started ripping pages out, I was like crying inside. I'm like, don't rip the book up. I know it's fine. Don't do it. I can't. I can't. It's like, don't hurt my book. Don't hurt a book, any book. I don't care what book it is. Don't rip the pages. I was crying inside.
I'm sure you were.
I really was. I don't care about her marking it up. I mark up my books too, but don't tear the pages out. Oh, I forgot to put this. This I thought this was interesting. The cannon that the crew mounts to Serenity in the movie is a World War II German 20mm Flak 38.
Oh, cool.
Wow.
The fact that that sucker survived a 2500... Apparently, German made good cannons.
Evidently.
German engineering, man. They know their stuff. They know what they're doing.
Oh my gosh. This is so off topic, but I don't care. Have you ever seen, I don't remember what his name is, but he's a German actor and he was on a Tonight Show. And I don't remember which show, but the host asked him, he's like, do you ever like get mad or does it make you feel hurt with like how media portrays Germans like as always the bad guy? And he answers, he's like, no. They're like, why? He's like, have you seen our history? We are the bad guys. Wow. Like, that's funny.
That is funny. Very true though.
It is.
Yeah.
Oh goodness gracious. Let's see here. Oh, they made a boo-boo. So Mao was a sergeant during the revolution, but apparently when they bring up his history file in the movie, it lists him as a captain.
Was it saying he's a captain of a ship, or did he say he's a captain in the...
No, that he was a captain in the war.
Oops.
Oopsie. Continuity, people.
Not so much.
Yeah. Okay, so Dan... Have you answered this yet? You said Firefly was a huge monumental moment for you in your life, in your psyche. Have you answered that yet?
No.
Why?
Been building to it.
Would you like to?
Sure.
Would you like to?
Yeah. It's good. I like talking about it, but also I think it's important to talk about because it just is. I love Firefly. I love this universe. I love what it represents in a lot of ways. It represents a lot of things. It's one of the most human shows I've ever seen. I love the immersiveness of it. I love the comfortableness of it. It's a comfortable set. It feels like a home, you know. It feels very immersive. I have dealt with depression off and on. I've never been diagnosed officially, but I'm pretty sure I have a version of it, or I've dealt with a version of it. I dealt with it for the very first time in high school when I was 17 years old, and it happened to me, and I never really experienced anything like that before. So I was like, what is this? How am I going to feel? What is this feeling? Because it's, you know, anyway... I hope I'm not bringing everybody down. I'm just telling my story. Okay.
Good. No, you're fine.
So the first time it happened, it was scary because I couldn't just, it's not something you can just snap out of. You know, it's something that you have to, unfortunately, you have to walk through it and you have to learn how to cope with it and you have to learn how to deal with it. And when you're 17 and you don't have social media and you don't have the language to understand what's going on, you're like, what is wrong with me? I am broken. I'm never going to be good again. And during that time, I started sort of cutting certain things out of my life because I felt like they were sort of hindering me. I kind of stopped watching TV for a little while because that was my coping mechanism. During that time, I discovered this little show called Firefly on the DVD box set. And one night, you know, we hanging out with my dad, and he's like, hey, I got this show. You want to watch it? I was like, sure, why not? I got nothing else going on. So I watched the show, and not only is it it's cowboys and it's space and it's funny. It's funny. And I was like, can we watch another one? Yes. Got through the second one. Can we watch a third one? Yes. I think we watched like maybe two. We watched the pilot and then we watched another episode. Like two. We watched like two episodes. Like, the you know. Mm-hmm. And that was like, for the first time during that dark period of my life, I felt not bad. And it was a little sort of something that said, everything's a little bit okay right now. Everything's not great. We're still in this place, but it's a little bit better, you know? And over the next few months, as I worked my way through the show, each time I would watch Firefly, things would get a little bit better. And I would watch it again, and things would get a little bit better. And for me, this show represents what it's like to walk through a dark place, but to have a little bit of light. Not a lot. Maybe just a dim glow. But it's enough to kind of get you through this thing. And I, unfortunately, I didn't get to rewatch, you know, all of the episodes, but it's so lodged into my brain that I can just talk about it. I am Firefly, right?
Yeah. Right.
Not right, yeah, but...
Yeah.
But the episode I was watching last night was the episode Safe. And I love that episode. And I love it specifically because of River's dance scene. Yeah, because, you know, we've been very alienated, but also very like, we want to help her, but also we're sort of repelled by her up until then, because she's this, there's a lot of trauma here and there's a lot of ambiguity here and we don't really know what's going on. And we haven't really seen much of her as a person. And then she's doing this thing where, you know, for the first time she's seeing daylight and they're on a planet and there's sky and there's grass. And she's doing something that she's always loved. And for those few moments, she's out of that place. Like, it's a, like she's a normal person, you know? And, like, there's so much going on in that scene. You know, in a lot of spaces where we talk about things like that, you know, you hear about triggers, you know, triggers with, and that bring up old things or whatever. But the opposite of that, there's a word that people use called glimmers, you know, glimmers of moments where you feel serenity, you feel peace, you feel hope. And that to me is like a really big glimmer for River. And it's a lot of what I was feeling at the time, just little moments where you remember who you are and you remember what you are and what you're about. And it's a reminder that said, like, you're not going to be this way forever. It won't be like this forever. And it wasn't. And, you know, I got through it after like 3 months or so. But during that time, it really was just, it shaped a lot of my worldview about just the good parts of humanity and the good parts of what it's like when different people get together from different areas who shouldn't even be on the same planet, let alone the same crew. And yet they make it work and they create this family. They create this home. They create this place. And, you know, Firefly to me represents ultimately it's coming out of a dark place and what it's like to come out of a dark place. And I know I'm not the, and I thought I was the only one, honestly, for a long time. I thought I was just kind of one of the few people who dealt with that. And then I remember listening to panels and people who talk to go up and ask questions. And they always say, this show got me through a hard time. This show got me through a hard time. It got through my heart over and over and over and over and over again. And you're really, and again, I don't know what sort of thing aligned in what way to what in the universe, but somehow this show just like grabbed something in everyone's collective psyche and made just an, it came to life. You know, it's a show that's alive. It exists. It's not just a show. I mean, it is, it's taken on a life of its own. It's its own thing. Now, Firefly is just its own sort of consciousness. But I mean, and again, I mean, I could, I mean, you can make a whole episode of just me going on about everything I love about Firefly. I didn't mean to get all heavy and stuff, but this is definitely a big thing that was big for me. And
We can have heavy moments. No, you're good.
I know, but you know, I like to be fun and be silly and whatnot, but. Mm-hmm. But yeah, no, I mean, and rewatching the show, it's funny because like I tend to forget about it, you know, and get involved in other things. And then I rewatch it and I'm like, gosh, I always forget how good the show actually is, you know?
Mm-hmm. Sorry. No, that's amazing. So were you still in high school when this kind of happened, or was this the in-between year before you came up to SEU?
I was in my last year of high school. So my last semester of my last year of high school. So yeah, I think there was a lot of things involved in it. There were a lot of things leading up to that. Yeah. Part of it was just the uncertainty of what's happening afterwards and just the, you know, a lot of internalized things that I think contributed to a lot of it. But you know, Firefly was just kind of like, you know, it was that little light in that dark place, and it always has been, and it always will be.
Yeah. I mean, nice. That is the beauty of media, whether it's a book or a TV show or whatever span that you like to watch, that when you find the right thing to help you emotionally, mentally, whatever, like, it's just, it's beautiful. It is absolutely beautiful thing, because I have connections like that with other media that helped me through different things, whether it was my anxiety, because that's what I deal with, is anxiety up and down all the time, depending on what's happening. And sadly, sometimes anxiety and depression can go together. So
definitely.
It's a fun little thing to deal with. I'm so happy that Firefly was that for you and for so many other people. That it was a light in your life to help you kind of work through it.
I agree.
And that's what I love about, honestly, that's why I love about stories that take place outside of reality. Like, this takes place outside of reality. This is, yes, it's like us thousands or hundreds of years in the future, but it's not real. It's not something that could be happening right now. And I feel like those types of stories give us the space to give us sort of an adventure, but also give us like still that realistic issues that we're dealing with right now woven within something that's fantastical to help that we can start to see glimmers and start to kind of work through everything. And Firefly, it didn't do that for me. I found it at a different time in my life, but I can see how it can do that for like you and for other people. And it's beautiful.
Yeah. I always said, and I try to live by this, and I got to keep reminding myself, like, anytime that's actually the thing that kind of made me rethink getting into film and writing, because I wanted to create something like Firefly. And I think everything I've done since then has been trying to like give other people what Firefly gave to me. You know, anytime I try to create a song or a movie or whatever I'm making or a story, you know, I want to do what other people would do for other people, what Firefly did for me. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't always succeed at it, but you know, I try.
Mm-hmm. You never know. You might succeed and not realize maybe. It.
Very true.
Yeah. You never know. Well, anything else that we want to discuss before we kind of close out our Joss Whedon summer?
No?
No? All right. Well, Pixie Dusters, if you love... honestly, if you have any sort of love for Star Wars, I feel like you're also going to have a love for Firefly, and you can find it on Disney Plus. So please, 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 if at least give it a chance. Like Sammy, it's not really for her, so that's fine, but it might be for you. And if it's not, no big deal. But I hope you enjoyed hearing us talk about it and hearing the impact it had in Dan's life. And we look forward to seeing you next week as we dive back into Disney. And we are going to talk about all the fun and not so fun updates that are happening around Disney World.
Yep.
Yeah. It'll be fine. It'll be fine. It'll be fine. Sorry. See you all next week.
Bye, everyone.
Bye. Thanks for listening to the Pixie Dust Twins podcast featuring Dan. The show is written and produced by Ashley and Sammy, except for those manifestos, which are all written by Dan himself. Intro and audio editing by Sammy, logo created by Ashley. The show is produced as part of the Limitless Broadcasting Network. Make sure you check out all of our other shows and have a magical day.